This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the feet, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. More often than not, I think our world, or maybe I should just speak personally, but I have a hunch, maybe not. I tend to see and be more of a Martha than a Mary. I think that our culture and our emphasis on kind of like productivity and getting things done, right? We sort of elevate what's being busyness. Nobody seems to be immune, right? Often at a pastor's gathering, people will talk about how busy they are, and it's like sometimes it feels like it's almost a contest, like who's the busiest. And I've experienced that to be the case, not just in the realm of the church and as a pastor, but also as a student and things. Like, I just remember like sitting down for like a group project and people just being like, I'm swamped, I got this and this and this, and people just kind of start listing everything that's going on. And I think it is, as Jesus seems to perceive in Martha, this raised level of anxiety comes with that, right? You're worried and distracted, right? The way the story plays out, Martha's distracted by many things, and Jesus seems to see through it that her anxiety level is raised as well. Now, I must say, Martha's not doing, like, wrong things here. Martha is in fact, doing what you're supposed to do when you welcome a guest. You're getting everything ready. Think of all the things you might do when you're getting ready to receive a guest, right? Like, cleaning and dusting, preparing food, being ready to welcome, picking up all the stuff that your toddler has left on the floor. When you're getting ready to receive somebody like a new family member, and you rearrange your furniture, and you get so busy and wrapped up with all of like the things that you do the right thing, to welcome people the right way. To practice good Southern hospitality. After all, we are here in the great state of Texas. I can easily get consumed with trying to get all of those things right, that I miss like the whole reason that I'm doing it in the first place, which is to receive and welcome the guest who is coming. To sit with them and be with them. I think of friends who have traveled, miles and miles to spend a few days. And sometimes I can be so concerned with like getting the right things in order and making sure we've got enough in the plan out for the day to get everything going that I can miss the opportunity to just kind of be with them for a while. So Martha's doing kind of the right things. What any of us would do when we were going to receive a guest, especially a really important guest. She has busied herself with all of this, and she's juggling, right? And she's worried that something's going to fall. And nobody's there helping her do those things that are the things that you're supposed to do when you receive a guest. You see, this text sometimes is really interesting, and I think it's sometimes hard for those of us like myself who can concern ourselves with busy things and can tend towards some Martha activities. To hear this text, because it's paired with that text in Genesis when the Lord appears in three people to Abraham and Sarah, And what do? They go get busy making welcome, right? They do what you're supposed to do to get everything welcome. And they receive these guests well. The practice of hospitality is abundantly important, and you are serving the people who are coming to you when you do the things that help to welcome them. But what I see in this text, especially as it follows right after our text from last week, where Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan and what it means, how we are to be a neighbor, to go and do likewise. You know, I think of the difference between the worry and distraction when we don't realize we're in the presence of the divine. Last week, we talked about the Good Samaritan. The first thing the Samaritan does that the others don't is draw near to the man who's been left on the side of the road and be with him. That's the first thing. Then he does all of these other acts of hospitality that are necessary, right? He spends the money to help keep him at the inn. He binds up his wounds. But he starts with sitting, coming near to the presence of this one, this person, this stranger in whom he encounters the presence and the image and likeness of God, a neighbor, a brother or sister, a fellow family member, a fellow citizen of God's own kingdom. He draws near. And the priest and the Levite that pass by, I wonder if they're too distracted or worried. And here we have a different scenario, but a similar thing. The presence of the divine, the image and likeness of God, God's self in the person of Jesus Christ, in whom the fullness of the world is, as Paul says in Colossians. The fullness of the glory of God is made to dwell here and is entered into Martha's home. And she has become too distracted. You see, I think two things can keep us from being in the presence of God and our neighbor, of loving God and neighbor, which go hand in hand. Sometimes it's really big things. So I wonder if the priest and the Levite, when they go down the road, they go, oh man, there's a problem on this road with violence. Look at this guy. He's beaten and half dead, maybe dead. We have to do something about this, but they don't know what they can do. Their worry about the issue keeps them from drawing near, from realizing the presence of what's right in front of them. Martha busies herself with good activities and actions, but in doing so, in taking care of all of these many things, she fails to realize the presence of the one who is with her and in her midst. See, it's necessary to sit in the presence of God, to pray, to pause. You notice there's this little like acrostic on the back of your bulletin. That says summer's a great time to pause. Sometimes we need that because we're always in the presence of God. As Father Richard Rohr would say, we're always in the presence of God. What's lacking is awareness. We're not always aware that we're in the presence of God. But God, who is in all things, from whom all things come, who is the source and ground of all goodness and life, God is always present. We are always in the midst of God. Christ dwells in us. We are welcomed to abide in God's tabernacle, but we're not always aware that we are. So Jesus says, look, there is a better thing. The only thing that you need is one thing, and that is God. The rest is great. The rest is, as Luther would put it, flows as a generative and generous response from the one thing. The good works of our faith necessarily flow outward from the reception of God's grace, but we need to again and again sit in God's grace, in the free gift of God, whose presence comes to us, finds us, calls, sanctifies, enlightens us, and brings us to new life. I mentioned Father Richard Rohr, who's a writer, teacher, author. He runs a place called the Center for Action and Contemplation, which you go, what in the world contemplation, that's like a contemplative prayer. That's like monks and meditating, right? Like sitting in silence. That's like the most opposite thing from action that there could be. And what Rohr says is these are two sides for the same thing. These are both parts of our life together, because when we are resting in the presence of God, it leads us to action. When we are filled up with God's grace, when we realize that we are beloved children of God, recipients of the very presence of the divine who has come into our midst, when we can take the time to sit and wake up to the presence of God around us, it leads us into action. And often, our action leads us back into contemplation. As a church, we have this rhythm where we gather for worship and praise and prayer, and we go out, and your lives continue, and your actions are filled up and inspired by Christ and the Holy Spirit. You share God's love in what you do, and then we come together, and we are together in the presence of God, and God finds us again in water and bread and wine, in song and in community. We are gathered back for prayer and action. See, sometimes the big things stop us from engaging in the immediate action of loving God and neighbor. Sometimes the little things stop us from the action of being present with God and loving God and neighbor. Both are needed, but really, one thing is necessary, right? Both are part of the life, I should say. And the one necessary thing is the one from whom both and all of this comes. It is the presence of the divine. It is God who is love, God who creates, God who chooses to dwell with God's people. When we rest and abide and sit with God, when we hear again those teachings, we are led out to continue in love and service. The council has been reading a book, and we have a book club meeting on Wednesday. And the book's all about adaptive leadership. It's called Canoeing the Mountains, Christian Leadership in Uncharted Territory. Adaptive leadership is like, what do you do when the path in front of you looks nothing like the path behind you? The reason it's called Canoeing the Mountains is Lewis and Clark thought they were going to take a water path all the way across the country, and then they got halfway there and the water ran out, and all they knew how to do was, like, they were experts at going down rivers or up rivers, and then all of a sudden they got mountains, the Rockies in front of them. When the path in front of you looks nothing like the path behind you, when you aren't what you yet need to be to move into the future, and one of the things that brings up the 50th anniversary, the moon landing, right? This is like, nobody had done that. It took imagination. It was moving into new territory. It was an adaptive challenge. We didn't know what we needed to be in order to accomplish that thing. As we move into God's future, into new territory and a new land, as we continue our journey together, it will take imagination. It will take a process of observing what's going on, interpreting that, and then taking action. There's a chapter in the book that says, don't just do something, stand there, then do something. And I think it comes from this story. Be in the presence of God. You already are. Open up to it, sit with it. Next week we'll be talking about prayer, and we'll actually have some different stations where you can try different types of prayer as Jesus teaches the disciples to pray our Lord's Prayer that we pray each week. Sit in the presence of God. Listen to God in scripture and prayer and song, in one another, and as you're out in the community, because God is there too. And then act. And they may not be the ways that fit the social norms. It may not be all the right things you're supposed to do to get ready for a guest. It may be the more important thing of being with that guest. Prayer and action together. As we all know, that loving service begins and has as its goal the loving presence of God, who is with us now and is all throughout this world, because God in Christ has reconciled all things to God's Son. And that's really good news. You are in the presence of God. God's love is closer to you than you are to yourself. Thanks be to God.
Amen.